Greetings again. Open your Bible now to Proverbs chapter 1. Be sure to take out your outlines and follow along as we continue in our study and exposition of this wonderful book. Proverbs chapter 1. Before we begin to really start launching off into the expositions, it had been my awareness over the years of reading and studying Proverbs, since it is my favorite book in all the Bible from early on in my Christian life. One of the things that we need to come to realize is Proverbs is basically interacting between two types of people. People who are wise and people who are fools. So bear that in mind. Let's read the first seven verses and we'll get into our message. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding. To receive the instruction of wisdom. Justice, judgment, and equity. To give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma. The words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord at the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, the great, all-wise God, the one who is the dispenser of wisdom. As we sang and heard in our scripture reading, you and you alone is truly, ultimately, perfectly, infinitely wise. In all that you do, you take all of your omnipotence, your all-knowingness, and apply everything for using the perfect means for the perfect end, as decreed by your sovereign will, for your glory and our good. Father, we pray that as we continue through this, may we examine our own heart, whether we are walking in the path of wisdom or if we're following the life of folly and foolishness. Are we fearing you in every area of our life, or are we dishonoring you and rejecting you and resisting you and following our own dictates of our hearts? So, Father, may we truly heed your word. What good is it to learn it if we don't do it? Father, help us to be attentive, alert, with the sole desire to honor you by obedience. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we had just finished the section on the meaning, nature, and the blessing of fearing the Lord, one last time, I want to read a quote from Charles Bridges, the great commentator in the 1800s of the book of Proverbs. It says this: what is the fear of the Lord? It is that affectionate reverence by which the child of God bends himself humbly and carefully to his Father's law. His wrath is so bitter and his love so sweet. For this reason brings an earnest desire to please him, and because of the danger of coming short from his own weakness and temptation, a holy watchfulness and fear that he might not sin against him. Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now that we move to the second half of verse 7 to talk about the fool. Clearly it said, but the fool despised wisdom and instruction. Throughout Proverbs, there is a continual contrast between the wise person and the fool, from the person who will take his path in the way of wisdom versus folly. Solomon, in this book, uses four different Hebrew words for the fool in Proverbs. They are not synonyms, for they're equal in their understanding. They are basically different degrees of the fool. Though they are distinctly different in meaning, there is a lot of overlap with them. They don't cleanly, where one ends and the definition of the other carried on. There's some overlap. But throughout this, if you are not aware of the degrees of folly and foolishness, you will miss one of the great lessons of this book, because he is lining you up. How much of a fool are you? Where do you line up? And as you see here from the outline, I have the simple fool, the stubborn fool, the silly fool, and the scorning fool. Let's look at point number one, which is found in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, which reads, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considered well his steps." One of the uniqueness about these words for the fool, or for the simple in this case, or for the scorner, is the amount of time that's used in the book of Proverbs in comparison to the rest of the Old Testament. For example, this Hebrew word that gives it the word simple is used 19 times in the Old Testament, 15 times in Proverbs alone. 79% of the time that it's used, it is in Proverbs. He is really hammering this point about this person who is seen and known as the simpleton. Not simple in knowledge, but simple in the sense they're young and inexperienced, they're naive, they're open-minded. They are ignorant, they lack the knowledge and experience, they're gullible. They are easy to convince, and they allow themselves to be easily seduced. Proverbs 14, verse 18 said this, "The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." Folly is the default position of every person born. We learn that in Proverbs 22, verse 15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him." Proverbs 22, verse 3, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple passes on and are punished." Why? Because they follow the crowd. They're naive. They're simpleton. They are ignorant. They lack experience. And they lack the ability to make a decision for the fear of the Lord. The one thing that's nice about this particular fool that I have simply called the simple fool or the naive fool is the fact that there is hope for this one. They can be taught and they can change their course. This one, by and large, is technically not defined as a fool. It would always use the word simple, but it is constantly characterized in contrast with the wise person. Therefore, they're in this group. Now, here's the reason why I have included it among the four fools here, is that they are a fool in the making unless they become committed to fear the Lord and seek wisdom. If they don't eventually catch on, they will get the same consequences and judgment and reward, negatively speaking, as those who are intentionally contrary to the fear of God and contrary to the court of wisdom. Dr. Wolke said this, "Until the gullible make the decision, a decisive decision for wisdom, they will suffer the fate of fools. Though the gullible and like fool do not despise wisdom, they have not made a commitment as those who fear the Lord. Here lies the dangerous thing, young people, that if you being young and you're in that stage of born into this world as a simple or naive person, until you make that decisive decision to fear the Lord and follow the Lord with your life, you will eventually degenerate to the other degrees of the fool. Until you make that decisive decision, you will suffer the fate of fool. The simple fool needs teaching and instruction. And we, above all people, should try to help them while there is hope. Psalm 19, verse 7 said this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Listen carefully. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Making wise the naive person. How do you help this person? Point him to the Word of God. Guide him with the truth of God's Word. Psalm 119, 130. "Entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Same exact Hebrew word. It is the word that was used in verse 4 of chapter 1 that we just read. To give prudence to the simple. What the simple person lacks is prudence. Prudence means wisdom and craftiness and skillful living and discernment in life. So there is hope for this simple, naive fool. This is a person who just lacks training, direction, and information, mainly the truth of God's Word. Which moves us to the next fool down is the word that is used as the stubborn fool. You'll find this fool, different Hebrew word, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." I also did a count. This word in the Hebrew was used 26 times in the Old Testament, 19 times in Proverbs alone, which means it was used 73% of the time in this book alone to make that contrast between the wise and the fool. But this fool is a degree worse. He is not the simple naive. He is degenerated. He has said, "No, I don't want wisdom. I want my own way." This is the very word that we have in verse 7 that we read at the second half. "But fool," this fool, the stubborn fool, despises wisdom and instruction. The word instruction, sometimes we just think of the idea of being taught. The word instruction here, the specific word that speaks to chastening, being corrected, being rebuked, or to stand to be corrected and to be educated by that. Here is a person who despises wisdom and instruction, let alone not even seeking it. Again, Walkie said this. "He had no heart for education or disregard moral truth and recklessly vent his folly. Instead of perceiving knowledge as desirable and so consciously cherished and sought after, fools are repulsed by it and try to rid themselves of it." Here lies when you try to help somebody and they don't want help. They got it figured out. Thank you very much. They have an attitude. They are known as people who are stubborn. They are stubborn in a wrong way and in the way of folly. This particular fool in 14 verse 9 make a mock at sin. They mock at the reality of sin. They make a mock in the fact that they scornfully ridicule the reality of sin, let alone they see no repair, there's no need to repair any wrong done or seek any forgiveness. This is a fool. This is a person who stubbornly and inseparably tied to folly and foolishness. Everything he does, folly and foolishness follows him. Everywhere you see his name, you will see folly following him. Proverbs 27, verse 22. Listen to this. Though you grind a fool, that particular fool, in mortar and pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Now that sounds like a puzzling proverb. Well, that's what proverbs are. They're more than meet the eye. You have to figure out what is here. So I went and did the study to find out what in the world is Solomon trying to communicate to us about this particular fool. So in looking at it, it said this: though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle, which is mortar is a stone bowl, and a pestle is either a stone or a wooden rounded instrument used to grind down and press down on some grains that will not break away or separate by a normal threshing floor. The idea here is this rounded instrument of pestle grinded and continued to work in this bowl, whereas the threshing floor, by all means, what they did is they would beat on the wheat or whatever grain, and then they would take an instrument, a tool that looked like a pitchfork, have a threshing floor up a high ground, a nice gentle breeze coming across. You would lift up the stuff, and the shaft would blow away, and the weight of the wheat will come straight down. But there are other grains that won't work that way. They got some impurities or a husk around them, and it requires this grinding to separate the husk from the purity of the grain. Here lies the picture that the proverb is trying to teach us in Proverbs 27, verse 22. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with pestle. In other words, you got this grain in here, you got this bowl, and you got this instrument, and you got the fool in there. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to grind the foolishness and the folly away from the fool, like you're trying to get the husk away from the grain. And it said, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. This is that fool. Albert Barnes said that to pound wheat and mortar with pestle in order to free the wheat from its husk and impurity is to go through a far more elaborate process than threshing. The application here is the folly of this fool cannot be gotten rid of. It sticks to him to the end like his skin. All discipline, teaching, and correction, no matter how severe, seemed to be wasted on him. Clark said it this way: his foolishness cannot be separated from him. You may purge grain for all their husk, but you cannot purge the fool of his folly. Matthew Henry said it this way: some are so hopelessly bad that even those rough and severe methods do not achieve the end. Their foolishness will not depart from them. So fully are their hearts set in them to do evil. They are often under the rod and yet not humbled, and in the furnace and yet not refined. This is that fool. It's a shameful thing to be this fool, this stubborn fool, that you would make decisions and you follow the pattern that he had seen throughout this book. Oh, beloved, whether you're a young person or an older person, we must examine our lives to ask ourselves, are we playing the stubborn fool? Do we have a tendency to reject wisdom? Do not seek it, even when God graciously bring it our way via many different means. We despise it and we reject it. That's a shameful thing. Not only that folly is inescapably linked and connected to them, they, in their folly, they have now become vocal. And they will mock at wisdom and are known as the prating or quarrelsome fool. As you'll see in Proverbs 10, verse 8, the wise in heart will receive command, but a prating fool will fall. The word prating simply means the use of your lips or in a form speech for the purpose for whatever the context said. So you can use your lips or your speech for good or bad. Context tells you. Okay. This word, the prating fool, which has also been translated other words, speak of using the lip, was used 45 times in Proverbs. So Proverbs teaches a lot about the use of your tongue, your speech. Here's a positive one. Proverbs 10:13. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. That's a positive one. Here's one include both. Proverbs 10, verse 32. The lip of the righteous knows what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. And now we have a negative only. Proverbs 4, verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lip far from you. I did a study of every one of those 45 times they're used in reference to the negative use of your lips and speech. It speaks of this fool using their lips to the things that are contrary to truth, to transgress, to lie, to deceive, to slander, to cause discord and trouble, to entice, and it would also use as an immoral woman using flattering lips to seduce. Proverbs 16:27. An ungodly man digs up evil. It is on his lips like a burning fire. Proverbs 18, verse 6. A fool's lip entered into contention, and his mouth called for blow. This person is so stubborn and set in their ways and opinion that they verbalize it, and when they speak, they become fighting words. They cause conflict and contention and strife and division and discord. Do we not see a lot of fools today out there in our country? All you have to do is just see how the day of civility are gone. It's just like we're just trying to see how low we can cut and speak below the belt. We as Christians are never to go there. We to use our tongue in a right and wholesome in a godly manner and let the Lord do the work on changing the heart and the minds of the people to whom we address. We don't need a shock and awe by trying to be mean in our speech. But this fool had no qualms with that. Proverbs 24, verse 2. Their heart devises violence, and their lips talk of troublemaking. They want their own way. They are stubborn because of their own opinion and choices that they have made and do not want to be told they are wrong. Just like that mortar and the pestle, you can throw that fool in there and grind them together. The foolishness will not separate from this fool. Their greatest need is to be disciplined and corrected via parents in the home, government outside, and even the local church, which are the institution that God has ordained to deal with people of that manner. Now we move to what is known in point number 3 as the silly fool. This is not a fool that simply is giddy. This is a fool whose whole purpose of life is having a good time. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool, entirely different Hebrew word, rages and is self-confident. This Hebrew word was used 70 times in the Old Testament. It is used 49 times in the book of Proverbs. 70% of the use of this word in the entire Old Testament is in Proverbs alone. This person, again, is only concerned about a good time. It is viewed as stupid, not my word, God's word, arrogant, spiritually dull, and makes wrong decisions based on what can give me the most fun. For example, Proverbs 10:23, to do evil is like sport to a fool. This fool. This is the different fool that we saw in point 1 and 2 and from 4. We're degenerating even worse. Their whole goal of life is fun, fun, fun. Even the use of the word in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 5 and 6 says this, listen carefully. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. There are all kinds of musicians out there that sing for entertainment purposes, but they, in a lot of ways, they are preaching and singing their message. And they are songs of fools. They songs usually think of, you know, lighthearted and fun, and you go to a concert not to have a bad time, but a good time. And he continues in the next verse, for like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so the laughter of the fool. This also is vanity. So this fool is only concerned with song, dance, and laughter and fun. They don't want to be around people that are serious and hearing the rebuke of the wise. And even in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 said this, walk prudently when you go to the house of God. And draw near, listen carefully, and draw near to hear. Okay? So what's the purpose of going to church? What's the purpose of, even in the Old Testament, to go to the house of God? You draw near to listen to what God has to say. It carried on and says this, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are, what they do are evil. In other words, a fool, not there to hear, not there to listen. Let me do my duty and I'm gone. And God said, that is evil. That is wrong. I'm not interested in that kind of sacrifice. I want you to tremble before my word. I want you to listen and heed to my word. But this fool won't do that. Proverbs 12, verse 23, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. It's all about folly and foolishness. It's just about, they never seem to get serious. The Christian life is serious. Dealing with and fighting with sin is serious business. These silly fools lead a life that always lead to destruction because of their arrogance, stubbornness, and lack of seriousness. Even at the end of Proverbs 1, verse 32, for the turning away of the simple, that's the first one, will slay them, and the complacency of fools, the silly one, will destroy them. They complacency, hey, I don't have time for this. I want to go and have a good time. I want to go do this and that and go where the action is. Because they do not examine their hearts before the law of God, they will, according to this verse, their complacency will destroy them. Proverbs 14, verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil. A wise man sees that, and because he fears the Lord, he knows that sin, that wrong, I got to flee that. The rest of the verse says this, but a fool rages and is self-confident. Hey, no problem, I'm going to go head on into that. That is a silly fool. Eh, what's the deal? It can't hurt me. That's why you want to be careful. Because being a fool is a serious thing. It's one thing to be called a fool by God. It's another thing to experience the consequences of a life given over to folly and foolishness that you'll bear with the rest of your life. Some of those decisions and choices you'll make will be lifelong consequences. You either follow God's right and glorious path to blessedness, joy, and usefulness and fruitfulness, or suffer consequences of being one of the four fools. Proverbs 28:26 says this, He who trusted own heart is a fool. But whoever walks widely will be delivered. Oh, I didn't know my heart. I'm just going to follow my heart. I'm just going to do what my heart tells me. That's the fool number three. That's the fool, the silly fool, who thinks he got more guidance and sure guidance in the folly and silliness of his own heart than the Word of God and the path of real wisdom. That person needs to be severely rebuked as opposed to be corrected and chastened in the second one. This one needs to be severely rebuked with the truth of God's word to see the error of their ways. Proverbs 17, verse 10, rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. This fool. You did mildly rebuke a wise man. He done a gain. He done a thank you. He done a love you for telling him what he needed to hear. But you talk that way to a silly fool, you can beat him with a rod with 100 blows. That would be more effective on that person than a fool getting wisdom. Here's one. He did not learn or change from being rebuked or disciplined. Proverbs 26:11. I know many of you know this. Had the dog returned to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. This fool. He seemed to, why do certain people seem to relapse? Because they're fools. They made a decision long ago, when they came to that point where they needed to fear the Lord or follow their own way. This is what happens. When you're simple, there's hope. You haven't made a decision yet. But your indecisiveness will give you the consequences of being a fool. As soon as you start becoming a stubborn fool and a silly fool, it just progressively gets worse. This particular fool, silly fool, loved a good time. They may have an interesting and enticing life to the immature and the naive, and yet we are warned again and again not to associate or be near this fool. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Here, when you hear things, this does not shine with God's word. I should not be listening to this. Get away from them. You do not have to listen to this nonsense, this folly and foolishness. It will impact you. It's a dangerous thing to be hearing folly and foolishness and then staying there and not refraining and leaving the presence of that person, that it now becomes what you long for and desire deeply in your heart. That's the fearful thing you. That's why mom and dad, you pray. You're not omnipresent, but your prayers are. Pray that wherever your child goes, that God will be with him at that moment when that test comes. We know every child, every person is going to have that test where they're going to one day say no to the fear of the Lord or yes to the fear of the Lord. We pray that they will always say yes and persevere in that. Proverbs 17, verse 12, let a man, listen to this, let a man meet a bear robbed of her cub rather than a fool in his folly. Listen to that. Now, a lot of times when we just read that and we kind of hear the story that bears are kind of gnarly when you met with their cub. But in the day of YouTube, you need to go on YouTube and look at some bear attack. When somebody accidentally or inadvertently got in between a mama and her cub. I watched one time where there was a brown bear and her cub, probably 200-300 yards up a hill, and a black bear coming up. Eventually, the wind shifted, and that video had it. They were up in a high ride, so they can get this shot. Anyway, the point is the scent of the black bear got to the brown bear, and Mama thought the black bear was coming after her cub. And I saw that bear go so fast, it was insanely scary. That black bear knew that mama meant business. Climbed up the tree and went all the way to the top. That brown bear followed that bear right on up and trying to get it healed and faked it by coming down halfway and then coming up again to get a running start. Now this one says it's even worse. It says this. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cub. That means you have that cub and you got to fight this bear. Better to be that person than to meet and listen to the nonsense of this fool. Do you hear the urgency what God is saying here? Folly and listening to it is a dangerous thing to be around. Don't need to listen to it. Don't need to heed it. I'm thankful I'm hard of hearing because there's a lot of things I have not had to hear that had to have been foolish and folly. Fool number four. Here's the worst of them all. This is the scorning fool. Proverbs 21, verse 24. A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. That particular word, scoffer, in the Old Testament was used 27 times. Proverbs alone, 18 times. That's 66% of the times in the Bible and the Old Testament it was used for just Proverbs alone to teach and reinforce over and over and over this particular fool who I believe the worst. That word is used and had been translated the word scorner, a scoffer, one who disdain and had hold people in contempt and who is given to mocking. Here the fool who had digressed deeper into folly and pride. His pride has become more vocal. He becomes the mouthpiece for pride, mockery, and ridicule. They have no compunction in downgrading you and belittling you for what you are and what you stand for. Not to mention, they too cannot stand to be corrected. Proverbs 13, verse 1, listen to this. A wise son heeds his father's instruction. The word instruction there is the word correction. The father had to correct the son, rebuke his son for something. They read to the verse, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. That is in the context of a home. Here you can see the scoffer is hardened early in their folly while still at home and refuses to listen and to heed the correction of their parent. Don't think for a second that, well, I don't have to worry about being a scorner until I get to be old. No, you can be a scorner in your own home. All you have to do is just stay in your heart, no, I'm not going to fear God. I don't believe in the church and Bible stuff. Can't wait until I'm free. You know what that means? 18 and gone. May I plead and bleed with you that you take seriously of ever going on the path of folly and foolishness. Don't go there. I've been in the ministry long enough and I've seen the after effect. It's not worth going on. Heed God's word. Many a times when I was in the youth ministry, I had young people who always asked me those thorny questions that concerned them. They would always say, Brother Andy, I got a question for you. I said, I'll answer it, but I just want you to know, based on Proverbs 9, how you respond to it will tell me whether you're wise or a fool. Okay, I'm going to tell you the truth about this subject that you asked me about. Trust me, most teenagers are not asking about the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. They're not asking about the deity of Christ or some verses on that. Proverbs 9, 7 and 8. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. He who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, let he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Proverbs 15, verse 12. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. Scoffers will not seek wisdom, especially wisdom from wise people. They get what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. This is a committed, hardened fool that reject wisdom rooted in the truth, and they are dedicated to their folly. They are determined evangelists. They're not only mocking and scoffing at you with intensity, they're trying to convert you to their folly and foolishness. I guarantee you, if you don't go from the presence of folly, the fool number three, the silly fool, you won't have the resistance to fight this one. Because he'll have the logic and rhetoric down to be compelling and convincing and persuasive. But you have to come to have enough elementary wisdom to discern when you're not hearing in their present wisdom in order to leave. They are trying to teach and convert you to their way of thinking. We must reject them and their teaching like the other fool. Even Isaiah, in the use of this word, for the foolish person, that's the word, the scoffer, will speak foolishness. And his heart will work iniquity to practice ungodliness, to utter error against the Lord. Here the Lord, the epitome of truth. And this scoffer had the audacity and the gumption to say, I'm going to tell you what the real truth is. That is a fool. Now, one of the things that you have to come to grips with now that I've given you the four fools, every one of these fools have things that are common. The one thing that's common with all the fools in Proverbs is their folly always leads, listen carefully, to a wicked lifestyle. There is no such thing as one of those four fools as a righteous fool. Their folly and foolishness will lead to sin and wickedness. But more to the point, here's what you need to understand that's rooted in these words. They don't simply have a wicked lifestyle for themselves, they actually impact the common good of everyone around them. Their folly impacts those close to them, their family, their neighbor, and it ripples from there. That's what the Bible teaches and certainly teaches us that in Proverbs. There's a concept known as the correlative. It means to be mutually related or complementing one another. In other words, Walkie said it this way. These wisdom and ethical terms. Now notice he entered the word. It's the word wisdom. A lot of times we just think it's just a mental thing. But he uses the wisdom and ethical terms are correlative. For though they do not mean the same thing, they have the same referent. Both are also correlative with other ethical terms such as good, upright, blameless, or understanding, virtue, the fool who is seen as wicked, bad, crooked, and the like, because these terms reveal common features. That's why when you go through, don't just simply pick up the word fool, look it up and say, okay, what are the benchmarks of this fool? Wickedness, ungodliness. The benchmark of the wise, righteous, upright, people of integrity. It impacts their ethical system, which impacts the community. They don't live and die to themselves, said Paul. No man lived to himself, no man died to himself. That's why this nonsense, well, it doesn't hurt you. Sin hurts everyone around. Walkie went on to say, there are